Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, joined today by Makone Maja. Let us get into the news of today. And the first one we're going to talk about today is an opinion piece written by the chief editor of News 24, Adrian Basson, talking about the state of Johannesburg. He starts off by talking in this opinion piece about how he's always been a fan of Joburg. He lived most of his life here, or at least half of his life here. And that this is in many ways a city that he admires. However, he feels as though the city is beginning to collapse. And of course, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the water outage, which affected large parts of the city recently, the numerous power outages, both planned for all the maintenance that needs to be done on the old infrastructure and unplanned due to either vandalism or things breaking. And the general sort of decay in the city, I think, is quite apparent to anyone who lives here in the past couple of years, particularly. He says that the major problem and cause of this rapid decay has been the coalition, the very unstable coalitions. Firstly, the one with the DA that was collapsed by the Patriotic Alliance pulling out. And then secondly, the coalition between the EFF, PA, and ANC, which saw a member of a very small political party, Kabelo Gumanda from Al Jamaha, being appointed as mayor of Johannesburg. He says, quote, "If it weren't so sad, would have been comical watching a clearly incapable and out of his depth mayor, Kabelo Gumanda, trying to manage the water crisis that deprived thousands of residents of water for almost 2 weeks. With Rand water on the verge of collapse, according to the Swane municipality, the city of Johannesburg needs its best possible leaders and managers on deck to take hard decisions that will prevent an absolute calamity. Why is it so hard for the ANC's Cyril Ramaphosa, Panyaza Lesufi, and Dada Morero to sit around the table with the DA's John Steenhuisen, Solly Mzimanga, and Wendy Alexander to thrash out a power-sharing agreement in Johannesburg that will see the city being fixed pipe for pipe in the interest of all its residents?" He goes on to basically say that the only thing that can fix Johannesburg is an ANC-DA coalition, and that this wouldn't cost any of the party's major political points, because voters will appreciate the efforts to get service delivery done above politics, and that this will endear them to voters who care more about service delivery than about who you're in coalition with. So, Makone, before I get your thoughts on this, there are some things that sort of strike me immediately from this. One is that I suspect that an ANC-DA coalition would, amongst the majority of Johannesburgers, particularly ANC voters, be relatively popular. I think there would be some DA voters who would go for it. There would also be some DA voters who would be horrified by it. But the larger problem, and Makone, this is really what I want your thoughts on, is how is anything like this supposed to work? These parties, they're not just not on the same side because they have different personalities. They're not on the same side because they have a different view of how to fix the city. If you can't end ECADA deployment, if you can't end BEE in preferential procurement, if you can't decentralize decision-making, if you can't do all of these things that the parties differ on, then what will make any difference from what it is now? Makone, what do you make of this?
Yeah, no, I agree, Nick. I think there are better ways of thinking around ways in which we can stabilize coalitions structurally, looking at laws and how we can prohibit certain movements between political parties once they've formed coalitions, at least because it's in the best interest of the city that the coalition run its a course of time before somebody just jerks it out, and for nefarious reasons. But I think that people like Adrian Basson that think that a coalition between two opposing parties with opposing ideas of how to run this country have resigned themselves to the fact that perhaps the ANC is not going to get out of power for a while. And in order for us to operate with the ANC as our government, and the best case scenario would be for a party of good governance like the DA, and it's not according to me, this is almost every DA municipality passing the Auditor General's assessments, it's clear the DA is better at governance. Their idea is that if you have a DA come in and sort of take a model that the ANC have failed at executing and then execute it on the ANC's behalf. That is the best case scenario we have of getting our municipalities up and running again. Unfortunately, like you stated, this is not just a temperament issue. It's not just that John Steenhuisen can't get along or that Dada Morero just can't get along with Alan Windey. I think it's far deeper than that. If the DA comes in and say, hey, let's sell Transnet off and break it up into different companies that can be sold off, the ANC will heavily oppose that because the ANC is pro-centralizing power and pro-having and owning as many state-owned entities, despite the fact that the entities are just not even functional anymore, even if it's at the expense of their own ability to run the country. So I think, like you've outlined, that these are issues that go far deeper than just forming a circle and kumbayaing through governance. These parties just at the helm, at their core, just cannot agree on how to govern, forcing them to do
right.
It.
You know, this is a view of governance that comes up so often in our politics. Is if we just all got everyone around a table together and had a conversation. I remember the former 702 talk show host John Robbie often was a very big fan of this kind of approach to politics, but it misses the point. You know, the problem of why municipalities are failing. So defenders of this coalition idea might say something along the lines of, well, you see at local governance, those big questions like, for example, what to do with Transnet are not important. It's less ideological. And there's some truth to that. But the cities didn't fall apart. You know, Joburg is not falling apart simply because it's got an inept mayor. It does have an inept mayor, but that's not the cause. The cause is due to bad policy systemically enacted through things like particularly something like CADA deployment. So let's imagine the Johannesburg Roads Agency has a manager who is not performing well, and this DA government says, okay, we want to get rid of this guy. But he also then turns out to be a, you know, relative of the ANC provincial chairperson. They're not going to fire him. And if you can't make those kind of changes, you're just mucking about, you know, changing some line items in the budget. That's probably the only difference, which can be done without some sort of grand coalition anyway. You know, there may be differences in managerial skill between the two parties, but at the fundamental core of these issues, it is bad policy that is the cause of our problems, not some sort of mysterious fog of incompetence, which is just flooded in to the political system.
No, I think it becomes overly simplified when it's just phrased or questioned under the can't we all just get along? No, they actually cannot get along because they are fundamentally and vehemently disagree on how to run the country.
Exactly right. Okay, let's move on to our next one. And this is the ANC is taking the new MK party to the electoral court, claiming that they have violated their trademark and have not followed the proper registration procedures to be registered as a party. They are trying to get them presumably taken off the ballot. It's very difficult to not see this as being caused, at least in part, by the, I'm sure, absolute spooking the ANC has gotten from the relatively strong performance of the MK party in public polling recently. Makone, what do you make of all this?
So it seems the Electoral Act just does prohibit parties in its Section 16A, prohibit parties from stealing intellectual property of other existing political parties. So using words or images that resemble those of existing political parties. And that's what the ANC is arguing. Their merits are that Mkhonto we Sizwe and the symbols that they're using for their party are actually belong to them. Now, I cannot confirm if that is true. I don't know if the ANC still holds a trademark for the name and symbols of Mkhonto we Sizwe. But in addition to that, they're arguing that when Mkhonto was gazetted as a political party, it was done procedurally wrongly, and that they later supplemented their application or the notice under which they were gazetted. I couldn't find that. What I did see in the gazettes that was filed in June 2023 is that Mkhonto applied in terms of Section 15, which is the registration of new political parties, and Section 16, which is the prohibition of parties that steal other parties' intellectual property. But that The notice gives other parties 14 days to come forth with what they oppose or how and reasons why they oppose the registration of said political party. So the ANC would have had 14 days between June of 2023 and July of 2023 to write to the chief officer of the IEC to oppose the registration of Mkhonto. So that deadline's clearly gone. If anything, I've heard the ANC Secretary General say that they quashed the registration of Mkhonto in May already. But I haven't seen that they've done anything about when the party was actually gazetted, which would have been in June. So there are merits there for the ANC. I just wonder how the court will balance the Electoral Act against the notice of the Gazette, because the Electoral Act didn't seem to me to define a period of time within which parties can come up and oppose registration of other parties. But the Gazette certainly provided those 14 days for oppositional parties to come forth.
Yeah, I think the fact that they didn't reply in the original 14 days is possibly because they thought this wasn't going to be a big deal. But clearly they were wrong. So I find it very unlikely that that the court is going to. I just think that it would take a act of incredible judicial bravery to disqualify MK entirely from the electoral ballot or to deregister it as a party. I think worst case scenario for MK, they're going to be forced to change maybe their name and their symbol, but we shall have to see. I am not a legal expert, but that is my feeling on this matter. All right, that is all the time we have for today. We hope you found this show interesting. We will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend wrap for this short week. Cheers, everyone. That's a wrap.